Self-Evident is a platform that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Now, last week we talked about President Trump's plan to restore the birth rate through incentivizing families and couples to have more children. And we kind of went into the policies there and the problems I had with the proposed policies, for example, the $5,000 per baby bonus. And if you want my full thoughts on President Trump's current plan that's still in the planning stages, still in the brainstorming stage, you can go back and listen to that episode. But in that episode, we talked a little bit about what the real problem with the birth rate is, that actually it's a heart issue. And when we look at the problems that our society is facing, particularly when it comes to the birth rate and fertility issues, and when it comes to what is actually keeping people from having children, that the financial incentive is actually not the biggest issue. Because when we, like I said, I referenced this in the previous episode, when we look at other countries that have implemented policies like the Trump administration is thinking about, it actually hasn't done anything to help the birth rate. In fact, in cases like Japan, the birth rate has actually still continued to go down despite the financial incentives. So in that episode, I kind of went into, again, the heart behind what is actually wrong with the birth rate, that it's a heart issue, that we as a society have rejected God. We have rejected his design for marriage. We have rejected his design for family. We have rejected his design for pregnancy. We see this in gay marriage. We see this in IVF and surrogacy. We see this in abortion. We see this in transgenderism. We see this in so many ways in our society, that when we see that we have a birth rate problem, that the world is having a birth rate problem after chasing after these false ideologies, these false gods, these false doctrines, it really shouldn't surprise us. However, I read an interesting article today from the Washington Stand, and Mary Soch, I so love her as an author, from the Washington Stand, posted three ways to increase the birth rate while respecting human dignity. And I just thought that this was a great article because I recognized that in the last episode, I didn't really give any counter policy ideas. And I think it was a mistake on my end, hence why we're doing this episode, that I want to recognize that even though I don't agree with the policies that the Trump administration is proposing, that that doesn't mean that we as Christians can't propose any policy changes or promote any kind of administrative rule or federal promotion of something to help the birth rate. I think that we as Christians, you know, we the people of the United States are the ones that are in charge, that yes, we have representatives and senators, but it's us electing them to represent us, and that it's actually we the people who make the decisions at the end of the day. And so I want to recognize that as Christians and as Americans, that we have very real power in affecting change in our society. We have the ability to pressure our representatives to come up with real solutions. And so in this episode, I want to backpack off of Mary Soch's article on three legitimate policy decisions that can be implemented that would absolutely help fix the birth rate. And while these are not salvific in any way, like I said in the last episode, this is a heart issue that our country is facing, that we have rejected God, that we need repentance and faith in Jesus Christ to actually reverse the devastating effects of sin that we have seen over the past decades. But that doesn't mean, again, that we can't have policies that work, that can't have policies that promote family values, that we can't have policies that promote heart change in that way. And so there are three policy ideas that Mary Soch recommends that I think are fantastic when it comes to actually fixing the birth rate. And I think the Trump administration should absolutely adopt all three of these immediately. And I would have them replace or the ones that they're proposing with these, because I think these are the ones that are actually going to work. Okay, the first policy idea that Mary Soch has is to revoke the approval of misoprostol. And if you don't know what mifepristone is, it is the abortion pill. As you know, if you've been looking at live action, if you've been looking at any of the headlines that have been going viral over this abortion pill, it's that it has such devastating effects for women's health. And now, I don't want to sound harsh when I say this, but I do want to point out that sin has consequences. And for women who are choosing to murder their baby It doesn't surprise me that the drug that they are using is also harming them. And often in times in scripture, God gives us over to our sin, and that sin has consequences on our body, has consequences on our mind. And what we see from women who take this drug is that they have very real mental health problems and they have very real physical problems. So I'm not proposing in any way to make the abortion pill safe for women, because abortion is not safe for the baby. I want abortion to be completely abolished in every single form. But revoking the approval of mifepristone would not only protect babies, but it would also, in a way, protect women, because women who take this pill often struggle with infertility afterwards. They have life-threatening complications. They experience pain, nausea, vomiting, bleeding. And so if we as a society want to encourage the birth rate, one of the biggest ways we can do that is to ban abortion. And one of the biggest ways to ban abortion is to ban the method of abortion that is most used, and that is the abortion pill. I could not agree more with this policy idea that we ban this drug and that we also ban abortion in its entirety. That would obviously fix the birth rate. Planned Parenthood, if you don't know, kills over 1,000 preborn babies every single day. And this is from their own data that they presented in their 2023 report, which I will link below for you so that you can know that I'm not lying about that. So banning abortion, banning the mifepristone abortion pill would absolutely help the birth rate to increase as it should. Now, the second one is not going to make liberals happy, and I'll explain why in a second. The second one is to ban pornography. And this is why this policy would not make even a lot of quote-unquote conservatives happy, but specifically liberals. If you remember back to Kamala Harris's 2024 election campaign, I don't know if anyone remembers this. I didn't really see it in the news that much. I was surprised that I didn't see it in the news that much, that it didn't go as viral. Kamala Harris, part of her campaign strategy is they created a commercial, and I'm not going to play the commercial for you because I think it's disgusting. And what this commercial was basically was that you should not vote for Donald Trump because he is going to ban pornography and he's going to take your sexual freedom away. And oh my goodness, this is horrible. Well, one, I wish that were the case. I wish part of Trump's campaign was to ban pornography. That wasn't the case. Again, I wish it was. But that was one of the campaign strategies of Kamala Harris, was to say, hey, Trump is going to ban your porn usage. That's why you shouldn't vote for him. You should vote for me because I promote sexual freedom, that you can do whatever you want. You can become whoever you want. You can kill whoever you want when it comes to babies inside the womb. And that was her basic campaign strategy. And by the grace of God, he said no to that as being the leader of our country. So Mary Soch in this article notes that since the rise of the internet, pornography use has increased dramatically. Viewing pornography used to involve walking into a specific store. However, again, because of internet access and because of how prevalent it is everywhere, you think about modeling and bikini models, and that's a form of pornography. It's soft porn. But we have become, in our society, so desensitized to any kind of inappropriate swimwear, any kind of inappropriate clothing. I was just in a restaurant the other day celebrating Mother's Day, actually, and this family walks in, and this girl who couldn't be more than 16 is wearing a very revealing outfit, and her parents are there and her sister, and they're celebrating Mother's Day. I just remember thinking to myself, because I am about to have a baby girl, I'm thinking, what parent in their right mind allows their 16-year-old to dress like that? But we as a society, again, have become so desensitized to showing off our bodies, to viewing people as commodities rather than as image bearers. So because of those downtracks, pornography usage has spiked because of, again, how desensitized we have become to even going to the beach. If you look at the common swimwear that is worn on American beaches today, I mean, it's crazy. What is considered normal, what is considered allowable, what is considered appropriate for the public. So it's no wonder that porn usage has gone up. And Mary Soch recognizes that numerous studies show the negative impacts of its usage. It is associated with infidelity, reduced gray matter in the brain, less relationship satisfaction, less sex with a spouse, desensitization to sexual violence, weakening of the cingulate cortex, which is the region of the brain responsible for moral and ethical decision making. And also, very practically, porn usage is linked with erectile dysfunction. It's also linked with lower quality sperm. It's linked to a lot of things. And I just want to park on this for a second, that when God tells us no to something, very often, almost 100% of the time, actually, I think I could say 100% of the time, what God is saying no to has health benefits. And what God says yes to has health benefits. Again, all these things that Mary Soch has accurately noted in the studies that have come out of your brain development with pornography, your sexual health with pornography, your marriage satisfaction with porn usage, the quality of your sperm in the case of men with porn usage, that science proves that God's law not only protects you spiritually and morally and ethically, but it also protects you bodily. Christian, God's rules and commandments are for your good. We often forget that God's rules, when he says no to something, it's not because he's a killjoy. It's not because what he's saying no to is so fun and he just doesn't want you to have fun. What he is saying no to is for your good, because the no that he is saying no to, that thing is trying to destroy you. It's for your destruction. And often, it's for your bodily destruction. I mean, just think of the transgenderism issue that we're having in our society today. That the lie of the evil one to try to change your body, that God did not make you good, that God's design of your body is flawed, that he made a mistake, that lie, when you swallow it whole, leads to bodily mutilation. And that's what we're seeing in children today. Bodily mutilation, cutting off healthy body parts, scarring, irreversible damage of the brain, irreversible damage of the heart and the lungs and bone density. God's word, his rules, his ordinances are good and they have health benefits. So, all that to say, the Trump administration, unfortunately, is not interested in banning pornography usage. I just think of Elon Musk, how he wants to make X the free marketplace of everything. And so he was very open about the fact that pornography was going to be allowed on the X platform because it's a form of, oh, what did he say? Sexual freedom and sexual expression, that should be allowed because we want to live in a free society. And the freedom that we want in our society, the freedom that the founders intended, was not freedom to do evil. It was the freedom to do good. It was the freedom to worship God without punishment. It was the freedom to do good to your fellow man. It was the freedom to choose morality over being forced by a government entity to choose evil. The freedom that our founders, who had Judeo-Christian values, intended was not freedom to view pornography. So again, I'm very in favor of banning all kinds of pornography, every type of pornography, and criminalizing anyone who produces it, criminalizing anyone who participates in it, criminalizing anyone who does anything to promote it. That this action would significantly improve not only the birth rates, but it would improve marriage rates. And I said this in the previous episode, that Elon must make more babies. We don't just need more babies. We need more babies and stable families that have a mom and a dad. We need more parents that are married. We need more kids to be born to families with parents that are married, that are committed to each other, that are not going to commit infidelity, that are going to be pure to each other, and that are going to love each other for life. That is what our society needs. We need more strong families. We don't just need more babies. Banning pornography would absolutely help the birth rate because it would help the marriage rate. It would help the stability of our society. And she closes out her section on this point saying, quote, banning pornography would reorient our society toward relationships with people, relationships that would likely grow first into love, then into marriage, and then, as the rhyme goes, comes the baby in the baby carriage. I could not have said it better myself. So again, this second policy, 100% behind. Unfortunately, I know the Trump administration will never take steps to do something like this. But again, these are policies that would actually fix the birth rate. Okay, third and final one. I'm not going to park on this one that long, but she mentions to fund restorative reproductive medicine research and treatment. And she notes that in the United States, the number of couples who would like to have a child but either struggle to get pregnant or can't carry them to term is heartbreaking. In 2019, estimates show 15.4% of women ages 25 to 49 struggling to get pregnant, and 8.7% of women were infertile. Studies also estimate up to 20% of known pregnancies end in miscarriages. The emotional and mental toll of these crosses cannot be quantified. And what I believe we are seeing, and I think we can attribute some of this to the MAHA movement of Make America Healthy Again, that often in infertility, I'm not a doctor, but there are links of infertility to foods we eat. There are links of infertility to water quality that we drink, to air quality that we breathe. So the MAHA movement of making America healthy again, of getting rid of yellow number 6 and red number 40 and blue number 5 and all of these harmful things, actually in the next few years, we might naturally see a spike in birth rate simply because people are not going to be consuming these harmful food dyes. They're not going to be consuming these harmful chemicals in their food. However, again, I don't think that that alone is going to help the infertility rate simply because other countries are struggling with the same thing and their governments ban food dyes. They ban a lot of things that the United States does not ban. But we also have to recognize that hormone levels, and Mary Soch recognizes this in her article. Again, I will link this article below so that you can read it, that hormone levels are tied to infertility, of you having either too much progesterone or too much estrogen or maybe too much testosterone. You never know. That hormone imbalance can be a leading cause of infertility. And again, hormone imbalance can be caused by food we eat. It can be caused by environmental factors. So I think more research, I agree with Mary, that more research into what is contributing to infertility, what is contributing to actually helping women to have children instead of just doing IVF. And we've done episodes on IVF before and the issues with that. But instead of just resorting to those things and instead getting to the root cause of why your body is not able to get pregnant, that would be extremely helpful for helping the birth rate. Absolutely. So I hope that this episode was helpful in actually going through key policy changes that could be made. Again, I don't think these will be, unfortunately. I could see more research going into reproductive medicine. I don't see banning pornography or revoking the approval of mifepristone. However, miracles can happen and I'll be praying for these. But these are the policies that I agree with Mary Soch on would actually increase the birth rate and would still respect human dignity, would respect the value of life and morality. So I hope this episode was helpful. And until next time, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. This is Self-Evident.